Again, it's good to see someone here this morning. We appreciate Eli leading us in our singing. We appreciate our men who serve in the public services, and we appreciate all you for being here and to everyone for singing out. I want to invite you to take your Bibles out at this time and follow the noble example of those in Acts 17:11. Search the Scripture to find out whether these things are so. It is my intent to preach the truth, but I'm a mere man, very capable of mistakes and errors. And so you need to test the spirits, whether they are of God. If, after careful examination, you believe that I've taught the truths this morning, I exhort you to take these truths and apply them to your life. On the other hand, if you feel that I've taught error in any way, or just if you have a question about anything I said, please come talk to me about it. Let's sit down and study that together from the Word of God. This morning I want to talk to us for a little bit about anger. And I believe that there is some misunderstanding about anger among some brethren or in some people's thinking. When people think of anger, they immediately think of sin. Many years ago, I had a brother in Christ, a close friend, who told me that and he was very emphatic about it, that it is wrong and sinful for a person to ever get angry about anything. That anger itself is inherently sinful. And that was his argument, and that was his belief. He indicated that it would be sinful for a child of God to get angry at any time, at anyone, or at anything. Is this true? Is all anger wrong and sinful? Should the child of God never get angry? If you do get angry, have you automatically sinned? Paul said in Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." This makes it clear that one can get angry and not sin. Obviously, this means that anger does not necessarily and automatically constitute sin. Anger itself is not inherently sinful. The Bible, in many places, speaks of God as He became angered. In Psalm 90, verse 11, "Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath." Isaiah 5, 25, "Therefore the anger of the Lord is aroused against His people. He has stretched out His hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled." In fact, there are more than 120 references in the Bible to God's anger and wrath. So on one hand, it is not automatically a sin for a child of God to become angry. And yet the Bible has a great deal of negative things to say about anger. What's a child of God to do? Well, it's obvious that there are instances when anger is sinful. And so it behooves us to learn from God's Word what would make anger sinful and then avoid those things. Very quickly this morning, I want to think about three things that can help us determine when anger is sinful. Number one, we need to think about the reason for our anger. It's clear from the Word of God that the reason we are angry can determine whether or not our anger is sinful. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother," now watch this, "without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." So it's dangerous, it's sinful to be angry with your brother without cause. Sometimes there is a legitimate cause for us to be angry. You've, I'm sure, heard the phrase righteous indignation. And that's basically a fancy way of saying, "I'm angry, but I have a justified reason for being angry." It's indignation, but it is righteous indignation. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul wrote, "For the wrath of God," that's God's anger, "is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So from this verse we get an indication of some things that anger God. Unrighteousness of men, those who are ungodly, and when men suppress the truth. That angers God. Here to the point to where He revealed His wrath. Sinful behavior should anger us as well. I mean, not angry to the sense that we become spiteful and hateful to those who are sinners. But we need to really be angry at the one who is tempting folks to sin. And that is Satan, the devil himself. Jesus became angry with those who sinned. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 17. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 17. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went in the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves." This was near the end of His ministry. He did the same thing near the beginning of His ministry. The Pharisees had set up shop. They had basically made the temple into a marketplace. And the account that Jeff read for us a few moments ago from John chapter 2, that was at the beginning of His ministry, is even more detailed. Jesus actually made a whip of cords and drove them out and overturned the tables and spilt out the money. "You have made My Father's house a den of thieves." Jesus expressed anger there. Picture in your mind Him taking that whip and cracking it and driving those men out and overturning those tables, slinging that money everywhere. He even said, "Zeal for My Father's house has eaten me up." That's what led to the anger. You cannot read that scathing rebuke that Jesus gave the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verses 1 to 36, without hearing the anger in His voice at their actions and their hypocrisy. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible said, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp." Now this doesn't mean that we're to go about on a bout of rage against folks who commit sin. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it should anger us. Jesus was angered when the house of God was made a common thing. Today people take the house of God, the household of God, which is the church, Paul wrote to Timothy and told us that, and they turn it into a common thing. Many so-called churches have become nothing more than a social club or a sports arena, a place to go to be entertained and to play rather than pray. You compare what we do here, which is what we read about in the New Testament, and compare that to if you go visit a denomination or another one of the so-called churches of Christ that we call liberal or progressive churches of Christ. And you're going to see a whole different story. When I was growing up, I invited a friend of mine from one of the denominations. I was always doing that, and sometimes they came, sometimes they didn't. But one of them came and he sat through Sunday morning Bible class and he sat through Sunday morning worship. And when it was over, he came to me and he said, "Wow, all y'all do is study the Bible." I have another good friend who invited me to a revival one night at his church, at the United Methodist Church in town. You know what we did? What the young people did? We went downstairs and shot pool. They had pool tables and video games, and we did that in the name of the Lord, they said. I can see Jesus coming in there and scattering those billiard balls and turning those pool tables over. People have desecrated the house of God and made it a common place, practicing and doing things of which they have no authority in Scripture to do. The Pharisees had no authority to buy and sell in the temple. And in doing so, they desecrated and made common the house of God. And that made Jesus angry. And we ought to be angered when people desecrate the house of God. Not that we go in there and start tearing the place up, but we ought to be spiritual battle. The Bible, the New Testament especially, emphasizes that we're at spiritual battle. And our anger should stimulate us to preach and teach more. And to try harder to learn more ourselves to convince these people of the error that they are in. That's where our anger should lead us. Our righteous indignation. The reason for your anger. Number two, not only the reason for your anger, we ought to think about the rapidity of our anger. In Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9, the Bible says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." James writes in James chapter 1 verses 19 and 20, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." In 1 Corinthians 13:5, the Bible says that love is not easily provoked. There are some people who are highly sensitive. They anger very easily. They are very easily provoked. And they, as the old timers used to say, go off like a shotgun. Some folks have even bragged of such a thing. "Yeah, I've got a short fuse." Well, that's not a good thing. Love is not easily provoked. If we're someone who always gets angry very quickly, then that's anger in a negative sense. Will Rogers once said that people who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. Nehemiah 9:17 says that God is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness. In Proverbs 14:17, the Bible says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated." Again, Proverbs 15 verse 18, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention." Proverbs 16 verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Ruling your spirit. Controlling your own spirit. Controlling your anger. I could go on and on. This is just a short list of passages that encourage us and even command us to be slow to anger, slow to wrath, and to control our own spirits. We can determine if anger is sinful by the reason for our anger, the rapidity of our anger, and number three, the reaction to our anger. How do I react when I'm angry? I'm ashamed to say personally, not well always. This is still something I'm working on. There is a right way and a wrong way to react when I'm angry. As a child of God who wants to avoid sin, I want to determine how to react properly when I'm angry. There are two ways we can react when we become angry. We can react in a way that is harmful. James 1:20, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The idea of vengeance comes to mind here. Someone once said that the difference in a man and a woman, insofar as vengeance, is that if a man wants vengeance, you can expect it in a couple of hours. If the woman wants vengeance, you better watch your back for a few years. But the real key is to eliminate a disposition of vengeance altogether. In Matthew 5:43-44, Jesus spoke of those who would probably anger us more than anyone else, our enemies. Those who do antagonistic things toward us. that stimulates our anger. But Jesus said in verse 43 that, or 44 of Matthew 5, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And then he makes this statement in the end of this conversation in this context of loving your enemies. In verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now understand that verse in context of loving your enemies. Romans 5, 6 to 9, we were called mankind the enemies of God. And yet God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. We were yet sinners. We were God's enemies. How did God respond to that? With love. With the greatest act of love the world has ever known. Sending His Son to die for our sins. Now there's a grand example. And so if we could get a hold of our spirit and rein in this vengeance and translate it into acts of kindness and prayer and mercy, we'll be just like God in that respect. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. In Proverbs 29:22, the wise man says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Proverbs 30, verse 33, for as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Anger has led to countless cases of the cruelest of sins among men. Husbands beating their wives. Parents abusing their children out of anger. Brawls, fights, stabbings, shootings, marital unfaithfulness even. Name-calling, murder, and the list goes on. Someone once said, anger is just one letter short of danger. And take that D and make it mean demonstrate. And when people demonstrate their anger in the wrong way and react to it in the wrong way, watch out for danger. Uncontrolled anger is a hard master. And I say that because not only will uncontrolled anger get you in serious trouble, but uncontrolled anger is hard to bring under control. I'm not speaking of something here that's necessarily easily done. Some people seem to have it mastered. They seem always to be calm and cool in spirit. It seems very difficult to rile them or to anger them. Those are people to look up to and to emulate, because this is a challenge. Sometimes when I'm angry, I have a right to be angry. But that doesn't give me the right to be cruel or to act in a sinful manner. When we're angry, we can react in a way that is harmful, or we can take our anger and react to it in a way that is helpful. Paul said again, Ephesians 4:26, do not sin. So react in a way that is not sinful, but rather in a way that is helpful. God approached Cain in Genesis chapter 4 in verses 6 and 7 and spoke to him about his anger. And God famously told him there not to let the sun go down on his wrath, that he needed to get control of himself. That's what he told him. Sin lies at the door. Get control of yourself. Now, how could Cain have used his anger to react in a helpful way? Well, it would have been helpful to himself if he had learned the lesson. That is, if he had thought about why he was angry. What led to that anger? What led to that anger? Does he offer God a sacrifice that was unacceptable to God? Now we know he knew better because God was communicating to them and telling them what they needed to offer. Whatever he offered or however he offered it, it was unacceptable to the Lord. And so he should have gone back and thought about it and meditated upon the cause of his anger. And perhaps he would have learned the lesson that next time I will worship God the way God said to worship Him. Further, if Cain had reacted properly and in a helpful way to his anger, that would have been helpful not only to himself, but it would have been helpful to his brother Abel, wouldn't it? Because Abel would have lived. Instead, Cain chose to react to his anger in the harmful way. And he murdered his brother, but it didn't stop there. Cain paid a high price for that himself. All in a fit of rage. Again, in Matthew 21:12-17, Jesus reacted properly to his anger. He used that anger to teach a Bible truth that you should not desecrate the house of God. The same thing is true in Matthew 23:1-36. He used his anger to teach those people what they were doing wrong and exhort them to do what is right. Sin should anger the children of God. The sin of the world around us should anger us to the point, not that we go out and take up arms and start lashing back in vengeance. We're not fighting a physical warfare, but a spiritual warfare. But the sin of the world around us should anger us to the point that we would try and strive even more diligently and desperately to get the gospel into the hearts of men. That's the only way to change it. When our brother or sister is caught in sin, there should be a healthy element of anger there. Not angry at our brother, but angry about the situation. Angry at Satan. And that anger should lead us to properly react in approaching and rebuking the brother who is in sin in a proper way. In Galatians 6:1, Paul said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." In Luke 17:3, Jesus put it like this, "Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." So we ought to look deep inside ourselves. Remember that we are frail, that we are forgiven sinners, that we are fighting weaknesses as well. And keep that in mind as we approach a brother who has sinned or departed from the Lord. Rather than letting our anger get the best of us. You see, the world needs anger. The world often continues to allow evil because it isn't angry about the right things. There should be a nationwide anger at the daily murdering of innocent unborn children being ripped from the womb of their mother. There should be daily national anger at the sexual perversions that are being normalized and encouraged and even legislated, such as homosexuality and now even, as I understand it, pedophilia. Anger can be helpful or anger can be harmful. It's all up to me. A man named Lyman Abbott once said, "Do not teach your children never to be angry. Teach them how to be angry." He's right. I believe that to be a proper statement in light of the Word of God. We're going to get angry, and sometimes that anger is justified. But we need to be taught, and we need to learn how to react properly to that anger. So that we can do as Paul said, be angry, but do not sin. And so in thinking about anger from a biblical standpoint, and identifying when anger is sinful, we can do so when we consider the reason for our anger, the rapidity of our anger, and the reaction to our anger. Let's pray.